Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Parsha Shoftim. First pasuk in the Parsha. Shoftim. What's Shoftim?
Judges.
Judges. Judges. Judgments. Inyana Diyoma. That's what this time is all about. We're coming up to the time. Coming up to the time. And we see it in the Parsha. What you see in the what's going on in the world, what's going on in the Galgal Hashanah, the specific time of the year. You take a look in the Parsha, you always see something. Even something that happens in the world, you'll see. You'll see if we see, we may not see it, but people that know, they could see. Because that's what it says in the Zohar. It says in the Zohar that every Parsha that's read during the time that it is read, it has a certain significance and it has something to do with what's happening actually in the world. Just the things that happen in the world, not in the base medrash even, in the world. Because the Torah is real. The Torah is real. Right? Hashem looked into the Torah and He created the world. So what you see in the world is by definition is connected to Torah. Torah connects everything. So Shoftim v'Shotrim, you're going to give the ones that judge, those are called the Shoftim. The Shoftim, those are the ones that carry out the judgment that the judges make. Teitei l'cha, you'll give to yourself, b'chol sharecha. Okay. So, judgment is something that even the goyim have, right? The goyim know you have to have a judge, right? It may not, it may be sort of like a guy who's a political appointment, and he's a conservative, he's a reformer, whatever, he's a this, and he's a that, and he's on the take. But everybody knows that there has to be such a thing as judgment. And you see this in the world. You see this in the world. Just like we were saying, the world is a place where judgment and din and law it's built into the world. It's built into the world. How do you see this? So this is you're gonna like this. This is something special. There's a medrash that brings a pasuk in Mishlei from Shlomo HaMelech. It says, "Lech el nemala, go to an ant." Yeah, you know this medrash. Go to an ant. It's pasuk. It says, "Go to an ant." Atzel, go to an ant. Re'ei drachecha v'chacham. Look at its ways and become wise. There's such a thing. The Gemara talks about this too. The Talmud talks about this. If you want to know about modesty, if you want to learn modesty, look at a cat. Right? Okay. You have to know where to look. You have to know the right places. If you look at a dog, so you're not going to learn modesty from a dog. The Torah says, look at a cat. Right? A cat always hides itself. Right? When it has to do its bodily duties. You have to know. So Shlomo HaMelech is saying, you want to learn to be a chacham? Look at an ant. What do you see from an ant? There's so many things that you see from an ant. An ant lives, how long does an ant live?
Very long.
Very short period of time. 6 months or something like that, maybe even less than this. If you have ever seen ants, right? I remember one time, I don't know where I was, I saw this, it was in the home. I was walking down a road, we have like a little forest near our home. And there's this whole line of ants. In the middle of the road, a whole line of ants. What are they doing? Each one is schlepping this piece of food, whatever. It's two times as big as itself. It's going to the ant hole. What does it do after it does that? It goes back. It goes and gets more. Another kernel. It's also twice as big as it. What is it needed for? To take one of these ants, and how much is it going to eat for its whole 6 months, its whole life? Maybe a half of these things, maybe one of them, maybe two of them, and every day it's getting one of these things. He's a hard worker. There's another thing he learned from ants. This is really interesting. So you see how much they want to get and acquire and take, right? They build fortunes. They don't need all of this for themselves. Who are they getting this all for? That's the way Hashem made the ant. That's what the ant knows how to do. He doesn't make a calculation. He doesn't really need this. If he make a calculation, he'd be a lot lazier than he really is. At the same time that he's not lazy, and he's working and working and working, he's piling and amassing and amassing all this food, there's another amazing thing. The ant, the Chazal say, the ant, it only takes something and takes it back to the ant hole if it doesn't belong to somebody else. It doesn't belong to somebody else. Amazing. How does it able to take something that doesn't belong to somebody else? How does it know? How does the ant know? So Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, one of the Tanoim, he says the following thing. One of the sages of the Talmud. Maisa ben Nemala Achat. There was an episode with an ant. Shehipil Chita Achas. It was carrying a kernel of wheat, and it fell somewhere out of the reach of the ants. And then what happens? All the other ants are now passing by this little kernel of wheat. They go up to it, each one of them, one at a time, maybe two at a time, I don't know. It says marichos ba, they smell it. V'lo haisa achas mihen no telos oso. Not one of them takes it. Ants. You go and you take everything. You see the ants, they're always going and running and amassing all these wheat things, kernels. Bo osa shahaisa shalo. Comes our ants that originally had it and it fell from this ant. It comes up to it. V'natla osa. Takes it on its back. And schlepping the thing, it's twice as big as it, and it goes on its merry way. Takes back the thing that it lost. This is amazing. Look what Hashem made into the ant, apparently Hashem made that it smells, and it smells something, this is kosher geld, this is good money, this is nicht kosher geld, this is not good money. The ant's able to smell what's kosher geld and what's not kosher geld. It only takes what's kosher geld. Even though it amasses and amasses and amasses even more than what it needs for its own lifetime and probably the lifetime of its own descendants. But there's such a thing as not taking something that doesn't belong to you. So you learn that from the ants? Learn that from the ants. What's the kasha on this story? What's the kasha on this story? What about this first ant? Okay, that all the other ants, they smelled it, and apparently it's not kosher because it belongs to this ant right here. So this ant took it and it walked away. What about the first ant? What about the first ant? Where did the first ant get this kernel from? Right? He's not a farmer. He doesn't know how to plant and grow wheat. So where does he get from? Where did he get it from? He must have got it from of another field, no? So it's gezel. It's not his. It's not kosher. So there's the question. Well, how does the whole story start? Right? You hear? How's the whole story start? So Reb Shach Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich, late Rosh Yeshiva of Ponovich, he says, if we have this kasha, if we have this kasha, it's only because we don't understand like the ant understands that the whole world is based, it stands on judgment. It stands on din. You take what belongs to you, and if you're not sure that it belongs to you, you're not sure that this is kosher gelt, stay away. Don't want it. Don't want it. There's countless stories. There's countless stories about Rosh Yeshiva that Rebbe Chanan comes to mind. Rebbe Chanan Wasserman he had a famous yeshiva. His son used to teach here, Rav Simcha Wasserman. So, and Rebbe Chanan, he was the primary disciple of the Chofetz Chaim. He had a yeshiva in Europe, and he used to come to America to collect for his yeshiva. The people that were helping him, they weren't always knowledgeable about Torah matters. They thought they were doing okay. They decided that they're going to make for Rebbe Chanan a real fundraiser. So what did they do? They had a ball. So Rebbe Chanan says, "Boss is a ball? What is that?" "No, it's dancing! It's dancing! People are dancing!" So Rebbe Chanan says, "Who's the one that's dancing?" So they said, "People are dancing! They're dancing with one another!" "Dancing with one another? Oh. Men and women are dancing together with one another. So yeah, that's the ball. That's what they do here in America, right? That's the dancing. We're going to collect a lot of money from this ball." There was a whole pile of tickets to sell to get into the ball. Rebbe Chanan took the tickets. He tore them all up. "This is not kosher gelt," said Rebbe Chanan. "You can't build a Torah with gelt that is not kosher." So Rebbe Chanan also knew. He also knew. He was also careful. He's like the ant. So back to Reb Shach. So Shach said, we walk around and we have all these things in our possession. Are we 100% sure that they came to us in a kosher way? Do we know? Did we think about it? Maybe yeah, maybe not. But yeah, we have to think about it. We have to think about it. This Rosh Hashanah is coming. And Rosh Hashanah is a time of din, and that means that there's a prosecutor. And Chazal say, what's the foremost mitzvah that the prosecutor prosecutes for? Gezel. Something that doesn't belong to me. I have it in my possession. The Torah says, Heshifas HaGezer HaShel Gozel. Make sure that what you have in your possession belongs to you. And if it doesn't, give it back. Give it back to the one that owns it. So Reb Shach says, the only reason we have this question on this ant, how did the first ant get the wheat? It didn't grow it. It's because we're not familiar with making sure that anything that comes into our possession. One second. Before I take this, is this kosher or not? Is this kosher or not? And what I already have, I should also check. Is this kosher or not? That's what the ant does. So we don't know, says Reb Shach. We don't know what we have. Whether it's really ours or not. We hope it is. We think it is. It probably is. The ant knows for sure. The ant would, just like the all the other ants, did not take it because it didn't belong to it. The first ant, if it takes it from the field of this person, or from this domain, and you think that it belongs to that person, and an ant is stealing it from that person, you should know, says Reb Shach, if the ant took it, it must be that it didn't belong to that person. It didn't come to him in a kosher way. So that's why he took it. So, If you have ants in the house and they're taking things, get the Judah Resus, get an exterminator, but then do a cheshbon to see what's going on in your house. Okay, that's what we have to look into. That's what we have to look into during this time. Because this mishpat, it's built into the world. That's the point. The point is the mishpat is built into the world. You see it from an ant. Even an ant knows that there's such a thing as mishpat, and he can't take what doesn't belong to him. Okay, that's one thing. Okay, number two, the very next pasuk over here. It says, that pasuk yud tes. It's on the first page, second pasuk. Lo sita mishpat lo sakir ponim velo sikach shoychad. The same idea. The judge also has to make sure that he's doing what's kosher and yosher. It's straight and it's kosher. It's proper. One of the things that he can't do is he can't take shochad. If you look in the Gemara in Ksuvis, shochad is a bribe. You go to the judge, you say, "Judge, I have a case today, and just to help you make the decision properly, here's $500. Right? Judge says, "Thank you very much." In America, anywhere else, not here, hopefully. We hope not. And he judges the case. Shochad, bribery. The Torah says, no bribery. So let me show you some of the... Well, what's called bribery according to the Torah? What's called bribery according to the Torah? So listen to what the Gemara in Ksuvos tells about the different judges in the time of the Talmud. There was a maisa with Rebbe Yishmael. Oh, it's on Kuf Hei Amit Beis in Ksuvos. There was a maisa with Rebbe Yishmael. Rebbe Yishmael, he had a tract of land, and he had a sharecropper that used to work the land. He would get a certain cut, a third, a half, whatever, for himself of the produce, and give the rest to Rebbe Yishmael, who's the balabait of the land. So one day, the sharecropper comes and he gives his portion to Rebbe Yishmael. And it's a day early. Sharecropper always used to give on the right day. Today it's a day early. So Rebbe Yishmael says, "My high, why early today?" So he says, "Well, actually, Rebbe, today I have a din Torah. I have a court case. And so I'm passing by the court in any case over here, passing by you. I just wanted to make things easy for myself and give it to you right now." So Rebbe Yishmael, right? It belongs to him. It's coming to him. It's bribery. What did Rebbe Yishmael do? He said, "If so, I can't judge this case for you. I can't judge this case. So he doesn't judge the case. And the Gemara says that he's sitting outside of the courtroom, and he's looking inside the courtroom, and he hears the parties making their claims, his sharecropper and the other person that's judging over there. And Rabbi Yishmael is saying to himself, "Oi! If my sharecropper would only have made this claim, he would have won." And another few minutes goes by, and he says, "Oi! If my sharecropper would have made that claim, oh, he would have won." And then he catches himself and he says, "Shh, look at this. Look what I'm doing over here," he says to himself. "This person, he was only giving me what was owed me. He was only, I'm supposed to get it. It belongs to me. It's not a bribe. But he just gave it to me a day early. And look And look how I'm trying to find a way for him to win the case. Baruch Hashem, I didn't judge his case. So Rapam Zatzal. And in many other cases like this also, the Gemara says case after case after case like this. With Shmuel, Shmuel's walking along the way and somebody, there was a feather that falls on his head, and the person takes the feather off the head, and Shmuel says, thank you very much, who are you? And he says, I have a din Torah today. And Shmuel says, so I can't be the judge. Why? Because he took a feather off his head? He can't be the judge? So Rapam Zatzal, he asks on these Gemaras, and he says, we're talking here about Chachamim, Gedolim, very, very great sages, Tzaddikim, righteous, righteous people. To them, it's anathema that they would take a bribe and pervert the justice of the din. They know how severe such a thing is. The whole world stands on judgment, as we were saying. A judge doesn't judge the right din. It's gefährlich. It's terrible for the whole world. Should we be so concerned? Should they themselves be so concerned about themselves that maybe they're going to not judge the din correctly because somebody took a feather off their head? Somebody gave them what was due them from their crop a day early? He says, we don't understand these Gemaras. Why is there concern of bribery over here? That they're gonna pervert the judgment. Hear the question. So if Pam says, why do we have the question? Because we didn't think like the Tanoim. We obviously don't think like the Tanoim. But we have to learn from the Tanoim. Says Rav Pam, why is it that they, very interesting, why is it that they were so concerned about this? There's a specific reason, not only simply, maybe I'll make a mistake in the judgment. They're chachamim, they're tzaddikim. Why are they going to make a mistake? So Rav Pam says, it's because they had it was ingrained in them, it was trained in them, it was rooted in them, it was part of their very essence, the whole idea of Hakoras HaTov to someone else. Hakoras HaTov. What's Hakoras HaTov? You know what Hakoras HaTov is? You recognize something good that somebody else did for you. This person did something good for me. It was a small thing. It was a small thing. He thought about it. He thought about doing this for me. That's not a small thing. I have a certain obligation to him now. I'm obligated to him because he did this thing for me. He did this thing for me. The Tom says that this, and the word, how do you say the word thank you? How do you say thank you in Hebrew?
Todah.
Right? Todah rabah. Rabah, thank you very much. Very good. Say thank you very much. Not just thank you. Thank you very much. Right? What's the root of this word, todah? In the davening, right? There's three parts of the davening, right? There's the first part, avos, that's called the shevach. You're praising Hashem. Then the other part is all the bakashot, all the requests. Hashem, give me das, give me intelligence, help me to do tshuva, give me parnasa, give me health, right? Build the base of mikdash. All the types of requests that there are. And then at the end, you have modim, the third part, modim, from the word moda, right? Moda. Is it? When somebody goes to a bezdin and he's moda to the other side, so we say there's a din. Hodas bal din kamei adim dami. If one of the parties to the case admits to the truth of the other person's statement, so the other person doesn't need to prove it with witnesses. The party to the case, his connecto, the opposing party already admitted that that's true. It's like 100 witnesses, says the Gemara, coming in and saying that that's true. Doesn't have to prove it. It means to admit. Modim really means the word Admit, moda la emes. You're moda to what is true. It's true that that person did that for you. It's a truthful thing. It's truth. It's emes. It's emistic. That's what the Karas HaTov is, recognizing what's true. A Karas HaTov, you appreciate what somebody else did for you. Says Rav Pam, if we would really take this to heart, like the Tanoim, if we would take to heart the fact that people do things for us, and we receive from other people, and admit to that, Rav Pam says, we'd find our life would be a lot happier. Why? Because we would be able to conduct ourselves with midas tovus, with good character traits. We wouldn't get angry with other people. We wouldn't get upset with other people. We wouldn't argue with other people. We wouldn't feel that they cheated us. Because why? That person did something good for me once, twice, right? My wife. How could you get angry at a wife? Every single day she does thousands of things for you. And one thing she did that you don't like, so you yell at her. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Talking to myself. How many people are married here? A few people are married here, right? Right. So we know. It's not so easy though. Why is it not so easy to not say a bad word? Because we don't have this principle down. We don't realize this. We don't realize this. We have to recognize all the good that the whole sefer of Chovos HaLevavos, classic sefer of Musar, of Rabbeinu Bahaya. He talks about having midas tovus. He talks about observing the Torah. He says, observing the Torah, what's it based upon? It's based upon a recognition of HaKoros HaTov. It's based upon a recognition to be moda ala emes, to recognize what's true. What's true? Hashem created me. Hashem is keeping me alive every moment. Every breath that I breathe is because He's keeping me going, and Baruch Hashem, more or less, we're healthy, right? And we have all the things, we have everything that we need. Okay, sometimes we would like to have a Cadillac, we'd like to have a swimming pool, we'd like to have a mansion in Beverly Hills, but we don't really need those things. We'd like to have, we don't really need them. It's not really necessary for us. That's why Hashem didn't give us to us. So we didn't do that. That's why we don't have them. But everything that we need in order to do what we have to do here, Hashem gave us. We've got it. We've got our life. HaKoros HaTov. Tremendous. Hashem gave us life. Gave us a chance to live in this world. Tremendous life. We're really indebted to Him. We're really indebted to Him. What's one way do we express? That's HaKoros HaTov. And then, then there's a second step. You repay good for something that somebody did to you. So, for what Hashem did for me. So I try to learn a little Torah for Him. I try to do a few mitzvahs for Him. And even that, the Toglach, I'm getting tremendous, tremendous, tremendous reward for what I'm doing, just because I'm giving to Him really what I when we think about it, I owe Him. Oh, you paid back the debt that you owe? Here, I'm going to give you a tremendous reward for paying back the debt that you owe. That's a pretty good deal. It's a pretty good deal. That's a Karas HaTov. It helps us with midas tovus, with other people that do good for us, and it helps us keep the whole Torah. When we think about what Hashem did for us, it's hard to get up in the morning. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. Right? It's a big battle going on. Right? The neshama. A person is made up of a neshama and a guf. Right? A body and a soul. What happens when a person goes to sleep at night? You know what happens? The soul goes upstairs. And now you've got this goof. And it's laying there, snoozing away. Mamish. Complete gashmius. Complete physicality. That's the spitz when it comes to physicality. Comes to morning, what happens? You ever see a jet takes off, right? Goes upstairs, and then it comes down. How long do they have to build the runway so it comes down and it doesn't crash? It can't just go like that on a dime like a helicopter can. It has to go like this. And with the momentum that it had from being up in the heavens, it needs a long time, a mile, 2 miles, I don't know how long it is, before it just gradually comes out, because it has so much momentum. You know what it is when a neshama comes back into a body in the morning? It's practically, and the neshama's been in Shemaim all this time, close to Hashem. The Ziv HaShechina, the Shechina, all the Kedusha and the Tahara up there with the Malachim. It's energized. A person should feel energized. This he's got a fresh neshama now. It's been, why is it fresh? Because it was with Hashem. It's full with chiyus. It's full with life. Comes into the body. You would think that the person is going to get up like a lion. He's got this neshama that's whoosh, it's willing to go. But there's another part too, right? What's the other part? This goof was sitting there for 6 hours or 7 hours snoozing away. Gashmius. You know? So, the morning is the biggest battle. It's the milchama hagadola that there is, the biggest battle that there is, that you have in the morning. How are you going to win this battle? You got the goof. He's at the spitz of his physicality. And you got the neshama. It's also the spitz of its ruchnius. How are you going to win this battle? It's not easy. How are you going to do it? Maybe one way we could do for an etzet is to remember, look, Hashem is giving back me my neshama. He's giving me another day. Kor satov. Thank you, Hashem. I got another day. Got another day to get up and do what it is I want to do today. Right? Thank you, Hashem. Try hard. Show Hashem that you appreciate the fact that He gave you another day. So, what you have here and you have here will tip the balance. That's going to tip the balance. Okay. And how you start the day. How you start the day?
Modani.
Modani? Right? Modani, that's the day. That's the beginning of the day. And how you start the day, that's how the day goes. That's what the Talmud says. How you start the day, that's how the day is going to go. The day goes according to the Rosh. Just like we have coming up a Rosh Hashanah. Right? We call it Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rosh of the Shana. Right? It says in the Yerushalmi, somebody that, it's not the halakha, you could sleep in the afternoon, but it says in the Yerushalmi, it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi, somebody that sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, his mazel sleeps during the year. He's got a mazel of during the year. You could sleep in the afternoon. You could sleep in the afternoon.
Even the first day.
Some people don't. Ask a shy. But that's the what are we saying over here? That's the Rosh. That's the morning. That's the waking up of the whole year. That's the time that you have to start off on the right foot. And this now is the time, Elo. This is the time that we know is the time to get ready, to be able to start in the right way, right? In order to be able to get up in the morning, you have to make sure that you don't go to sleep at 3 o'clock in the night. and after eating five chocolate bars and ten what do they call those things, cinnamon rolls, you know, it's hard to get up like that. It's hard to get up. So during Elul, you say to yourself, look, instead of eating five chocolate bars and five cinnamon rolls and going to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to go to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm only going to eat two cinnamon rolls. Right? Because it's Elul. Right? And if you want to do a little bit earlier, kol hakavod, more power to you. Right? But that's what this time is all about. This time is all about preparing for that Rosh Hashanah. Because Rosh Hashanah is the Rosh, it's the head of the year, and everything goes according to that time. Okay, that's number two. Mm-hmm. Number two. Number three.
What was number one?
Number one was the story about the ants. I'll tell you about the ants later on. The whole world is judgment is built into the world. An ant smells and doesn't take it if it knows it's not kosher. It doesn't belong to it. It belongs to somebody else.
Thanks.
Number three, you have the mitzvah. We have the parsha in this week's parsha of Shoftim about a melech, a Jewish king. Jewish king. Right? What does a Jewish king have to do? One of the mitzvahs, he's got to keep all the mitzvahs, number one. Right? He's not above the law. Right? This is not Watergate. You could do whatever you want. I'm the president. Right? You've got to keep all the mitzvahs. And as a matter of fact, we see the first king, Shaul, he lost his kingship. He was a tremendous tzaddik. He was a tremendous tzaddik. But he lost his kingship because he didn't listen to the words of the Navi 100%. He listened to the words of the prophets. He kept the whole Torah. He was head and shoulders above his generation. One thing the Navi told him, wait until I come back and only then you'll be able to start bringing the korbanos, the offerings. And it was on the seventh day. He told him he was going to come back in 7 days. He didn't wait a whole 7 days. Shmuel and Navi didn't come yet. And just at the time that he was ready to start to bring the korbanos, he already made all the preparations, then Shmuel comes in. He says, you didn't listen. You're going to lose your malchus for not listening to one thing the Navi said. I'm the king! Yeah, but you have to listen to the Torah. The Torah says, listen to the Navi. One thing he didn't listen. It's not above the law. Not above the law. See, he lost his malchus. He wasn't able to give it to his son, Yonasan. So what does the melech have to do? What does the king have to do in order to make sure to remember the fact that he's also a Jew and he also has to keep Torah and mitzvahs? He's not only the melech; he's also a Jew. And as a matter of fact, he's the model Jew.
Absolutely.
Because this king, even though he has all the affairs of state to run, he shows the people that the Torah is supreme. He does the mitzvahs of the Torah. It's a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of Hashem's name. People learn to do the Torah. His kingship is going to stand forever. Who is this? David HaMelech. David HaMelech. Right? Mashiach ben David. He's coming through David HaMelech. David HaMelech, a king. Yes. Always learning. He was always learning. He was a tremendous oev mitzvah. Loved to do mitzvahs. It says here that a melech, it's Perek Yud Zion, chapter 17, Pasuk Yud Ches, 17:18. It says, he's going to write when he's sitting on his kingdom. He's the king. What does he have to do? Hashem says, write as Mishnah HaTorah. Every Jew has to write a Sefer Torah for himself. Right?
How do we do the mitzvah today? We buy sforim. But it's a good thing if you could do it to buy a sefer Torah. Okay, it's a lot of money. But so we buy sforim. You have to know what to do. If we can't read the sforim, buy them some in English, or tell somebody what they say. We have to do this mitzvah. We have to acquire the Torah, literally acquire it. A melech. Not only one Torah does he have to write. He's got to write two. He's got to have two written. Him, or appoints an agent. He's got to write two. He has to keep the Torah more in mind than everybody else, because he's a melech, right? Power corrupts. And absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? It's a good statement. It's true. So he has to write two. One of them, it says, Rashi says, he has to keep with him at all times. So he goes into the bathroom. The Gemara says, leave it outside the bathroom, obviously. Right? Goes to the bathroom, comes out, he's got the Torah again. And what does it say? Verse 19, V'haisa imo v'kara bo kol yimei chayav. It's going to be with him, and he has to read it all of his days. L'man yilmad liras Hashem Elokov. To have awe for Hashem. To realize how great Hashem is, and the responsibility that he has to Hashem. Lishmor es kol divrei Torah zos. To keep every word of the Torah. Des chukam ha'elel asos. Fine. That's what it says. That's a melech. There's a story. I'm just going to say one story. One quick story. So he's got to keep it, he's got to learn it. It's got to be with him, and he's got to learn it his whole life. This Sefer Torah, that's his companion. It's a true story, I'm going to tell you. A Yerushalmi, Talmud Chacham, person who lived in Jerusalem, a Torah scholar, X number of years ago. It's not like it was today. Today, everybody, once they become a chassan, they get married, what's the first thing that they have? They have a svarim shrank, a bookcase, and what do they buy? They buy a whole set of shas. All 20 volumes of the Talmud, and it's on display. And what happens to it? It continues to be on display, and it's on display. Very nice. Once upon a time, they didn't have the money to have a whole 20 volume set of the Talmud. Right? There was this person, he was a Talmud Chacham. He knew all of it, he knew the whole Talmud. But for some reason, he was on his way, he went to Sfat. He didn't have so many Sforim to take with him. He had one volume. He had one volume of the 20 volumes of Shas. It had Maseches Rosh Hashanah in it, and it has Maseches Beitzah in it. It's got two Maseches in it. Small Maseches. Not big Maseches. Beitzah is like a 30 blot. Rosh Hashanah is not a big Maseches either. I don't remember how many it is. Not a big one. This man, he went to Sfat, and he took it, and he was mamish, he was karabo kol yimei chayov. How many times you want to guess that he learned through these two masechtas in his lifetime? Take a guess.
101 times.
I thought it was a printing error. I have to check it out. But, I mean, it's a reliable sefer. It's from Rav Zilberstein, Shlita. 3,000 times. 3,000 times. 3,000 times. These two small masechtas. But 3,000 times.
Is Rosh Hashanah what?
Rosh Hashanah and Beitzah. Beitzah is Yontif. Beitzah is about Yontif. Beitzah shenol to be Yontif. An egg that was born, that was laid on Yontif. What's the din? Is it muksa? Is it not muksa? Right? That's the first mission in Beitzah. So, after a while, you think it gets monotonous, right? We always like to learn something new in the yeshiva. Now we're learning Bava Basra. Before we were learning Makos, and we were learning Gittin and Kedushin, and always something. This Yid, all he had was this Gemara. Just one volume. So, it gets a little boring after a while, especially after 3,000 times. Ooh, but it's Torah. And that's what I have. I don't have to let any other sefer. 3,000 times. He was nifter in spot. He put on his. He asked his children, "I want on my tombstone, don't say anything about that I was a Talmud Chacham, I was this, I was that. I want one thing to be written on this tombstone, that I learned Rosh Hashanah and Maseches Beitzah 3,000 times." Why? Why do you want that? It's just because I think that if somebody would look at that and see what I did, maybe it'll encourage them to also learn Torah, to also do tshuva. The kachayat, so it was. X number of years later, I don't know whether it's 50 years, 100 years. If you go to the graveyard in Sfat, you'll see that you can't even see what it says on most of the tombstones, except for the Rizal. They always every year they make sure that it looks perfect. But this was a simple Talmud Chacham like any other Talmud Chacham that was nifter here in Eretz Yisrael. There was a boy from a prominent family here in Eretz Yisrael. And unfortunately, he got into a bad crowd, Nebuch, and he was completely off the strayed completely from the path of Torah. That his whole family, his parents and his uncle, the whole family, illustrious family, they tried this, they tried that, helping him this way, helping him that way, nothing. He was stuck in all of his things that he was doing. Not such good things. They almost gave up. Somehow Hashem made the providence happen that this boy, 18-year-old boy, something like that, is in Sfat, and he decides he's going to walk through this Beis HaKvoros. He walked through this graveyard. He's walking through, and he just happens to look over there. Right? He could have looked over there, and over there, and over there, right? Just happened to look in this direction and sees his tombstone. And he reads what it says there. Po Nitman, here lies Ploni Almoni. He learned through Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Beitzah 3,000 times. This boy was brought up in a frum home, and not just a frum home, a home of Torah. Talmid Chachamim, he knows what that is. He said to himself, "My boy, a Jew, he learned through the same Masechta 3,000 times. And what am I doing now? What am I doing with my life? Just doing nothing. Just having fun, doing nothing." And this is what he did on the spot. This boy turned himself around. He went right back to the yeshiva that he left, and he started to learn up a storm. Years and years went by, and today he's a very very prominent Torah scholar in Bnei Brak. This is what tshuva is. A person has a moment of recognition that I got to do it. So, Bezal Hashem, we should all be zocha to have that moment of recognition and many moments of recognition and get the job done. Bezal Hashem. Good Shabbat, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.